All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the Rumble chat tonight. Judy Anita is on. Agravain is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Linesmanson is on. Deb Plant is on. Robin Aroni is on. My Favorite Show is on. Let me see. Lady Vu is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. General Plowman is on. Mike Griffith is on. Flash River is on. Let me see here. Spaz64 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Richard Perry is on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Let me see. Granite 2468 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Let me see here. DK Jackson is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Let's see. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Nate Dab 1 is on. Patty K 44 is on. Let me see here. Snoddot 311 is on. Aphrodites is on. Conservative Waffle is on. JBC 2020 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Blade Runner is on. Stefan Toms is on. Let me grab one or two more here. Keeper 1376 is on. One more. Let me see. Find somebody I haven't said yet here. Those Jesus people is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Two more. Spaz 64 is on. Three more. There you go. All right, let's launch into some Trump stuff here. I'm going to do some of the non-kind of front page news stuff first with all of the collusion hoax. Now a new investigation. We got the investigations in the Schiff. You got the investigations into Letitia James. Then those are just for their mortgage fraud crimes that they committed, which is obvious. There's no disputing that. It's all in writing. It's all been signed by notary publics. It's over if anybody wants to prosecute it. Those are pretty much done. They should be done. Then you have, of course, Adam Schiff's release, multiple time release of classified documents, ordering others to release classified documents. You have that. You have that case. And now you have a new case that's being brought forward on Jim Comey, another case brought forward on Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation in the quid pro quo that was actually covered up by the FBI. But before we get to all that, let's do some simple economic stuff, because if I don't do this stuff, I'll never get to it. So this is from yesterday, if you put that up for me. Insider paper tweet breaking. S&P 500 and NASDAQ end at records, both of them. At records, there you go. There's another Trump accomplishment. So I just wrote down a little list here. I'll keep it brief. So you have Trump's accomplishments at the border, where the border is 96% closed with zero releases into the public. Mass deportations. I believe he's at 1.6 million people that he's deported so far. Now he's attacking homelessness, where he's basically outlawing homelessness, which, by the way, he's just enforcing laws that are already in place in every jurisdiction. You're not allowed to do these open campsites in any jurisdiction. It's just no blue district is enforcing the law. Now, what Trump is doing with this is using basic tariff sort of leverage. He's saying, you know what? If you want money from the federal government, you can and you shall clean up your streets. So you know what's going to happen, because all of these leftard cities that are absolutely overrun with crime, even though they manipulate their crime statistics, they all manipulate them, and I'll get to that later if I have time to get to it when we get into the DC part. Once again, they're all absolutely overrun with crime while they're simultaneously telling their citizens that the crime rate is exponentially down, when everybody would have to not believe their lying eyes to believe what their own government is telling them. So all that Trump is saying is, you know what, if you don't want this federal money, no problem, just don't enforce the law. Just don't enforce the law at all. So all of these cities, whether it's Philadelphia, L.A., you know, Milwaukee, Chicago, whatever it is, they're either going to clean up their streets or they're not going to get any federal money. And all of them are majorly in debt, crime-ridden, homelessness through the roof. Their streets are open toilets. Unless they want federal money, they're going to clean up their streets. You know what they're going to do? They're going to clean up their streets, just like Gavin Newsom made sure that San Francisco was spotless, absolutely spotless, when Xi Jinping showed up. Never spotless for any American, but when Xi Jinping showed up, because basically China and California are in partnership with one another. So you have the border accomplishments, the mass deportation accomplishments. Now he's tackling homelessness. You have him taking over D.C., which, by the way, everyone's already saying. There's videos everywhere that crime is already way down in D.C. Well, you have the National Guard standing there side by side with the D.C. Metro Police Department. You know, crime tends to go down. So, I mean, it's already going down. Just like I've noticed, I'm going to check it on Friday to confirm it. But I just noticed on my ride to Tampa, there was hardly anybody on the street. And compare, I mean, there's always some traffic between Sarasota and Tampa. But you know what? Every Friday I drive up there and, you know, it's just a lot less crime. I mean, a lot less crime, a lot less traffic. And they noticed the exact same thing with the crime rate in Denver, just exponentially went down. And people are noticing a lot less traffic when you start deporting millions of people. Now, those 1.6 million that I said that Trump deported, those are the ones that he deported, not the self-deportations, which is three or four times that many. So you're looking at 5-6 million people have been deported since Trump took office. Pretty big accomplishment. His peace deal is another accomplishment. Economic investment's got to be close to $20 trillion now of foreign and domestic economic investment. The tariffs that he's levied on foreign countries. Lots and lots of accomplishments. You know, the things everybody already knows, you watch this podcast, the things that I haven't liked. I didn't like the Big Beautiful Bill. I don't like Real ID. It's all garbage. Big Beautiful Bill had some big, beautiful things in it, but a lot of big, beautiful boondoggles in it. Also didn't like the Iran bombing. But even with both of those things that I didn't like, the two things that I didn't like the most, the Big Beautiful Bill and the Iran bombing, he even did the things that I don't like well. Because with the Iran bombing, it was 30 minutes. It's over. I mean, I know that's never happened. I mean, every time I think of United States wars, I got Will over here to my right, and I just think of the war that he was involved with. It certainly wasn't then. I mean, you're looking at 20-year wars. Will was there for a year or two. It's 20 years, Afghanistan and Iraq. Trump, 30 minutes. And it was the exact same thing when he wiped out ISIS in a couple months in his first term. And so even the things I don't like, he's doing well. The Big Beautiful Bill had a lot of big, beautiful things in it that I didn't like. But even he even did that well, and he's even trying to overcome all of the spending with revenue. So we'll see if that happens or not. All right, let's go to the next one. Tucker Carlson news tweet breaking. Doge has discovered. This is just minor statistics here. It's just minor statistics. Doge has discovered that there are 394 million Social Security recipients in the United States. Now, who in the chat can tell me what the problem is with that? Who in the chat can tell me without reading? Wow, you guys are talking a lot. I'm trolling down to the bottom. Well, the only problem is there's only 334 million people in America. But there's 394 million Social Security recipients. I think it's kind of a problem. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a math. I mean, I'm not a math major or anything, but no, far be it from me. Belgium must do math this way. Belgium does it then. I mean, you know, hey. But I'm like, I mean, call me crazy, but 394 million Social Security recipients, but we only have 334 million people registered as citizens in the United States of America.
Oops.
You're always hearing, Tom, you're always saying that there's 400 million people living. Yeah, with the illegals, there's 400 million people living here. Joe Biden let in 20 million folks in 4 years. How many people? I mean, remember that 330 million from 2006 census. That's where 330 comes from. Whenever year we have 330 million people living in America, that's from that census from 2006. Now, every year, there's millions and millions of illegals. And we also have chain migration every year. We're allowing in 1 million legal immigrants per year, but that's allowed to be chain migration. So it's 1 to 4 people per the one that's allowed in legally. So it's really 1 to 8 times that many that's legal. So it's 1 to 8 million people that are let in legally every year. Because you're allowed to bring in your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, and your kids. Probably your dogs, too, that are counted as citizens. But anyway, it's just kind of a problem, isn't it? That everybody, I mean, again, these people, they march up to podiums and they're so full of themselves and they're so arrogant about their expertise and they criticize Trump. Well, he lets all these people serve in his administration with no experience. So what does experience mean? Allowing 394 people on Social Security when we only have 330 million that are actually citizens in this country? That's what expertise means. Oh, I can't believe he would allow. I can't believe he would allow these non-experts with no legislative and no administrative experience in Washington D.C. Okay, what is all that experience got us? Incompetence. So why not let in people without experience? Because that probably means they won't be incompetent. Because to be experienced in Washington D.C. means experienced and incompetence and corruption. Look at this. 394 million people on Social Security when we have 330 million citizens. It makes absolutely no sense. Let's go to the border. Speaking of great competence under Trump and incompetence under the prior administration. All right, Red Wave press video. A Guatemalan illegal alien was just simply released back onto the street by the Portsmouth Police Department in Rhode Island. Let me see. Rhode Island, no voter ID, went for Kamala Harris, of course. In Rhode Island, who refused to honor an ICE detainer. Okay, you don't. They didn't honor an ICE detainer. You know, the ICE sends in a detainer whenever it's somebody. Let's see if we can figure this out. That they want you to detain. Okay, so they send in a detainer. And what are your options as the Portsmouth Police Department? What are your options when the federal freaking government sends you an ICE detainer? You know what that means? You shall detain or you're committing a crime. That's what it means. It's obstruction of a federal agent. And all these cops can be arrested and should be arrested. And I say that as a former cop. Because here's the detainer that they refused to enforce. It wasn't for petty theft. It wasn't even for robbery or for a victimless crime of some sort, like a vehicle burglary. It wasn't anything like that at all. They refused to honor an ICE detainer after a man was charged with multiple child sex crimes and released him back in the street. Play it for me, Will.
Federal immigration officials and a local police department in Rhode Island are at odds over details of an arrest and release of an illegal immigrant charged in a sex string operation involving a minor. Local police in Rhode Island are now responding to DHS, who claimed an ICE detainer was not honored for the suspect after his release. The Portsmouth Police Department releasing this surveillance video after the suspect posted bond. It shows ICE agents waiting outside, and they say officers did coordinate with ICE to take the suspect into custody. But ICE's acting director doubling down, saying the department did, in fact, ignore the retainer.
You saw in that video that they released, well, it took almost five agents to make that arrest when we could have just went inside the facility and took that, you know, child sex offender into custody. These aren't the individuals you want in your neighborhood or at the playground. They were going to let him out the door if the ICE agents weren't there.
ICE says deportation proceedings have begun.
So let's not make no bones about this, shall we? What it means to be a Democrat in 2025 is you are, in fact, in favor. You are, in fact, in favor. You are, in fact, in favor of releasing child rapists. That's a fact. This is now the 1 millionth story that Will and Aaron and I have covered on this subject, where you have police departments in liberal jurisdictions and leftist jurisdictions that refuse to detain child rapists. And they're like, well, you know, Portsmouth Police Department did aid in the apprehension after they ignored the ICE detainer, which caused there to be a need for an apprehension. I mean, it's typical liberal leftist tripe, garbage, minutia. Well, we did help in the apprehension. That, you know, again, that's like saying, well, we helped bury the person we forced to be vaccinated. Yeah. I mean, that's all that means. They didn't honor the ICE. How do you release a sex offender? I mean, call me crazy. I mean, I've only got 25 years worth of being a cop under my belt, but that never happens in Sarasota County, Florida. That doesn't happen. You don't release child rapists out into the public. First of all, how does he even get bail? How did he qualify to be released pre-trial? How did that happen in Portsmouth, New Rhode Island? How did that happen? Let me explain. Aaron, can you help me? Are you with me tonight? Or are you busy?
No.
Aaron's with me. Okay. I mean, can you help me understand how it is that you release a child rapist? How does he qualify for bail? And how would this illegal pay for the bail? I mean, can anybody explain? Is there some NGO that Will and Aaron and I are paying for that pays for his bail too?
Yeah.
I bet you there is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go to the next fun thing. We're camped at the border for several slides here. It was a TikTok video. Melissa Mormon, an employee of the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, was fired after she blew the whistle. So the whistleblower, again, violating the Democratic Party rules. Democratic Party rules are whistleblowers are to be believed without exception, unequivocally believed all the time. But whenever it's a right-winger blowing the whistle on leftists, they expose the whistleblower and fire them. But anyway, was fired after she blew the whistle on a scheme to give driver's licenses to illegals at $200 a pop. Under the table. Play for me.
The state didn't want this out. Fraud inside Kentucky's transportation cabinet. Licenses issued without a driver's test.
It is an ongoing WDRB investigation, and tonight we hear from a whistleblower who says coworkers used her login to pull off this scheme.
The employee
employees were being paid underneath the table.
They say sometimes.
I immediately let my supervisor know about it.
Truth hurts.
Did you ever think that this would cost you your job?
No.
And for Melissa Mormon.
I was angry for a long time.
This is one of those.
It hurts me that I'm talking about this and I actually like where I was working at.
Times.
I came in to the office that day. My computer was shut down. I was told to go to the front door. Detectives came in. They interviewed me. That was it.
Mormon says she was fired 3 months after she sent this letter to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, blowing the whistle that workers at the NEA Center licensing branch were selling driver's licenses under the table to people who never took the driver's test.
Undocumented workers.
How did it work? What was going on?
The undocumented workers would come in to the office in groups. They would provide them either permits or driver's license illegally. So they were bypassed without even taking the test.
How much?
$200 a person.
Up to five times a day, she says.
Was this an everyday thing?
Almost, yes.
I'm sure that the Democratic governor, Andy Beshear, is all over this to reinstate this poor woman into her job, right? I mean, imagine that, again, all of these conspiracies now, all of these crimes are out in the open, whether it's Schiff, whether it's Big Tish, whether it's Comey. There is no question now. There's no plausible deniability. There's no deniability at all. These people were under the table handing driver's licenses to illegals. And Aaron brought up a valuable point that you and I are paying for. I guarantee you they didn't come up with their own $200. I guarantee you they got them from some illegal NGO, illegal supporting NGO that you and I pay for. So Aaron brought this up. Here's the Circle Bleep symbiote. So you and I pay for these people to get their driver's licenses, which enables them to register to vote and then vote against us. That's exactly what's happening, by the way. And it's the same thing that happened in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. What was it called? Portsmouth, Rhode Island. You and I pay for an NGO to pay that guy's bill and him to go out and vote against us in elections. We're paying for all of it, every last bit of it. So it's just truly amazing. So this woman gets fired for exposing the fact that her coworkers were giving, and by the way, no driver's test. It wasn't just that they're, we'll go out and we'll at least play that they have to pass the driver's test. No driver's test. She has no idea who these people are. She didn't know the age. They don't even require an ID when they come. They're just handing them driver's licenses. Can you imagine sleeping at night when you're handing some person a driver's license to go out and kill somebody? And these people just sleep like babies at night? Unbelievable. Still at the border. All right, we're going to run these two right in a row, Will. Dapper Detective breaking drone video, and then Dapper Detective breaking another Lyft driver.
Roger.
All right, right in a row. But anyway, here they are breaking a drone video, illegal alien, child rapist. Take down arrest by Sunny Isles police, 22-year-old Wilman Day. Here it is, Aaron, my favorite. It's a five-word name.
Oh.
William De Jesus Martinez Linares is now on an ICE hold. Oh, well, they're actually going to hold him. Why are they going to hold him? As Florida leads the nation in hunting down these six predators. So this was actually in Florida where we actually honor ICE detainers. So this child sex rapist will actually end up going to prison or be deported. All right, and the other one, Dapper Detective, another Lyft driver arrested for rape of a passenger in Sanctuary City, Boston. Play for me.
Drone video captured the takedown of a man Sunny Isles Beach police say sexually assaulted a 15-year-old girl. Officers stopped the suspect, 22-year-old Wilman Martinez Linares, as he drove down Collins Avenue in a black BMW Friday. Just south of Northeast 170th Street, police surrounded his car and took him into custody.
The most heinous crimes against society or sexual crimes, especially sexual crimes against children.
Detectives say back on July 19th, Martinez Linares met the 15-year-old victim through a mutual friend and drove her and two others to Sunny Isles Beach near the William Lehman Causeway. Once on the sand, police say the group started a game of truth or dare, and Martinez Linares later forced himself on the girl.
He went ahead and proceeded to go and buy this young person alcohol. And in addition, then took this person to the beach where he proceeded to commit a sexual battery on her.
According to the arrest report, the victim reported the incident to the Children's Crisis Response Team at the Citrus Health Network. Detectives say text messages and a positive ID on the suspect led them to charge Martinez Linares with lewd and lascivious battery on a minor. Police say using their drone as their eye in the sky helped ensure safety of the officers on the ground.
The drone kept an eye, a visual on this vehicle. It was able to communicate to the officers exactly what the vehicle was doing.
Martinez Linares remains in jail on a $50,000 bond. He's also being kept in custody for now on an immigration hold.
Reporter Daniel Coates outside Somerville District Court, where a Lyft driver pled not guilty to serious charges of assault and battery and rape of one of his passengers over the weekend.
Matter of Luis Ramos Texera.
The 27-year-old from Brockton walked into court handcuffed and behind glass, facing disturbing allegations from this weekend.
This is an incident that involves an act of stranger violence, and notably there is an allegation of specifically a sexual assault of that stranger.
The Lyft driver is accused of picking up a woman in Boston, claiming in court documents she was having a drink with friends and co-workers after work at the Lenox on Exeter Street before calling a Lyft around 2:30 in the morning. The last thing she remembered, police reported, was getting into the back seat of the Lyft and later waking up in the back seat with her head resting on that driver's lap. She also noticed her bra was missing and her pants were unzipped. She reportedly woke up 90 minutes later here on Canal Lane in Somerville, rushing outside while Texera drove away. Police claim he was there with her for over an hour. She says she wasn't offered anything to drink or eat in that car, but she had a glass of champagne at work before she left and only one dirty martini at the Lenox Bar. She stated no one strange to her approached her there. The woman was treated at Cambridge Hospital while police worked with Lyft to identify Luis Carlos Ramos Texera, matching him to his white Honda CRV and working profile picture. He pled not guilty to charges of rape and assault and battery Monday.
Court has ordered that you be detained without bail pending a dangerousness hearing.
Monday evening, Lyft told me in a statement that this behavior is reprehensible and has no place in their community. In the meantime, they've banned Texera from all platforms.
See, you know what? You know, all the leftists, they always say, you know what? Americans commit crimes at a higher rate than illegals, which is absolutely, completely and totally pathologically wrong, by the way, in every metric. Not that every illegal enters this country illegally and that makes them all criminals. They've all committed a crime. Not even using that absolute fact, by the way. It's just they absolutely commit crimes at a higher rate than Americans do, period. You know, all of these situations here, you got the rape of a minor, the rape of a woman, all by illegals. You notice how the Boston news station doesn't ever mention that he's an illegal. The Florida one does. And finally, Boston looks like maybe they're going to honor an ICE detainer after the guy forcibly rapes a Lyft driver. Who she wakes up in the back seat with her head on his lap with her pants unzipped and her bra missing. Maybe now they'll finally detain him. Maybe. And then you have the child rapist, the other multiple child rapists. And they always talk about, you know, Americans commit crimes too. You know who wouldn't have been victimized in any of these crimes at all? The victims, if these illegals weren't allowed in the country, none of these people would be victims right now. None of them. What are you saying that? Well, they would have been victimized by Americans anyway. That's absolutely asinine. But that's where the left stands. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2021. You're like, no, don't arrest these rapists, these child rapists and women rapists, don't arrest them because, you know, they're going to be raped anyway by Americans. That's the mindset. That's the mindset of the left. It really is until they're the one who's victimized. All right, Peter St. Ange video, kind of a mix here between the border and economics. Net migration just went negative for the first time since 1945. People can say whatever it is they want about Donald Trump. Net migration just went negative. More people are exiting than entering for the first time since War freaking II. Unbelievable. Play for me.
Net migration just went negative for the first time in 50 years. Shockingly, the fruit is still getting picked. The houses are still getting built. America's lawns have not reabsorbed civilization. The news comes from CNN, who actually sells it short. According to the Committee on National Statistics, the last time migration was negative was 1945, as in the boys came home from Europe and wanted their jobs back. This is quite a turnaround from Biden. Last year, according to the Census Bureau, net migration was plus 2.8 million, which is more than the population of Nebraska. Of course, it may be much higher since known criminals presumably did not check in with Officer Bob. The main driver, of course, was closing the border. Border encounters, so people caught trying to sneak in, are down 97%. A year and a half ago under Biden, we had a 250,000 encounters per month. Border encounters, people trying to sneak in, are down 97%. A year and a half ago under Biden, we had a 250,000 encounters per month. That's down to just 141 per day on a 2,000-mile border, so that's one every 14 miles. While important, migrants are actually getting arrested. Instead of getting a free bus ticket and a prepaid MasterCard, for the third month in a row, there have been zero illegals released into the country. The other side of it, of course, is deportations, voluntary or otherwise. ICE is up to 25,000 deportations per month, but voluntary self-deportations are at least five times that, bringing it close to 200,000 per month leaving. This is all doing amazing things to the economy. According to the BLS, since Trump took office, foreign-born employment is down 1.1 million, while native-born employment is up 2.5 million. As in, Americans will do the jobs, just not for peanuts. This, too, is quite a turnaround from Biden, during which almost half of all jobs went to foreign-born workers at the expense of Americans. Finally, wages just hit a 60-year high as those companies discover they actually have to pay living wages. So far, Trump's been going after the 15 million-plus illegals, but that is only half of migration. There's another 3 million asylum seekers, at least 500,000 so-called refugees, so-called because many leapfrogged from country to country till they got here, which would make them economic migrants. Then there's the nearly 750,000 H-1Bs who are overwhelmingly low-wage IT and orderlies, not the top-shelf talent the program was supposed to be. Plus, of course, 13 million green card holders, many of whom are former H-1Bs, who get automatic green cards if they stick around long enough. So that could bring the H-1B number to nearly 3 million. So what's next? Brought to you by iTrust Capital. Mass migration has been a bonanza for the uniparty that's wiped out blue collars. For Democrats, it turned entire states blue, like California, which elected Nixon and Reagan. For Republicans, it kept their donors knee-deep in third-world labor. There's a lot more work to do, and it would go faster if Obama judges would get out of the way. But it is a great start. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
So Flash River in the chat puts on the rant. Thank you for the rant. $25 rant, by the way. If Jerome Powell enacts a 50 basis point cut during the September meeting, September 17th meeting, we all could have an Applebee's Friday. However, somebody's listening to the podcast right here. However, in the meantime, maybe one TLP member can enjoy an Applebee's Friday. That's Will, if you guys are in the rant tonight. If you don't, Will goes home without getting paid. Simple as that. I've already seen some. We got 25 from Flash River, 50 from Texas Billy. So things are looking good for Will tonight. Applebee's, I don't know, maybe someday we're going to have like a TLP meetup at the Northport Applebee's for everybody who's local.
Let's shoot the podcast there.
Yeah, oh, shoot like an awesome Applebee's podcast one night there, whatever. So anyway, I'm always talking about Applebee's in the sermons on Sunday, messages on Sunday, talking about it here all the time, whatever. And by the way, I'm not making fun of Applebee's. I like Applebee's. Yeah. I eat at Applebee's. I love their boneless buffalo wings. They're awesome.
You can get in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you can get in the neighborhood. I'm all good with Applebee's. Yeah. But I used to take all, when I was single, that's where I went all my Applebee's in a movie. Applebee's the movie. That was my test ground, you know.
Yeah.
But a same scenario for every single date, then you know whether or not they're, you know, the right girl or not. But anyway, all right. So back to important things like the Trump and the border. So wages, they're just at a 60-year high in the United States of America. Another one I need to put that down is another Trump accomplishment. And what, Aaron? Can you check on how many times Joe Biden reached a high ever in wages?
Let me see.
He'll find it. He'll find it.
Nothing.
Zero. Okay, got it. Zero. All right. Now, we also had all the predictions that the economy was going to collapse with the tariffs.
Yep.
That never happened. If we deport all these people, no crops would be picked, no rooms would be clean. You think about how degrading these leftists are. Because they're bougie. Remember, back in the early 80s, the Democratic Party was the party of the working class. In my opinion, a delusional working class, but they were, in fact, the party of the working class, which I've always been in the working class. I'm not denigrating that at all. However, that's what they were. Now what they want are no Americans to work and for slave labor to be imported. to do the job. So I'm far. Why that they're above? I'm above that job. I could never do that job. Why are you above that job? I mean, I'm just curious. I've been a steamer at Taco Bell. I didn't qualify to be a stuffer. The least role you can ever fulfill at a Taco Bell is that of a steamer. My buddy beat me out for stuffer. So I became a steamer at Taco Bell, which means you stand in front of the steaming thing where you get all the burrito stuff out, the shells or whatever you call them. That's what I did all day. I worked there. While I was in college, I cut down trees for a living. I poured concrete for a living. I washed dishes for a living. How are all these leftists above these jobs? I'm just curious. I mean, why are they suddenly above it? But I digress. They said the entire economy is going to fall apart with the tariffs. That there would be nobody to clean our hotel rooms. Oh, God forbid. Nobody's here to clean my hotel room. I sail, Bubby. And then they also said Americans are going to be locked up and sent to Alligator Alcatraz with the illegals. Okay, none of these things ever happen. And there's no apologies, no retraction, no public embarrassment because these people are soulless wonders. Deportations per month by Donald J. Trump are 25,000 per month. Self-deportations under Donald J. Trump are 200,000 per month. Woo! You know why they're doing that? Because Trump and Kristi Noem, DHS secretary, they put out the brilliant rule, and I mean that literally, if you deport, there is a process for you to re-enter this country if you self-deport. If we have to deport you, you're never coming back. You know what everybody did? I want some hope of someday being able to re-enter into this country, which, by the way, I'm in favor of as long as all your taxation remains here. Mm-hmm. Fully taxed, fully registered as a foreign registered worker under some sort of worker's visa. I'm all in favor of it. Mm-hmm. I really am. Like, Tom, that's kind of like not super conservative. I don't care. That's what I believe. Registered workers registered foreign workers under a worker's visa, you automatically get all of your taxes deducted, not sent home to Mexico, but it's all left right here, Guatemala or any other place. I mean, so I'm all in favor of that. There's lots of work that needs to get done. There's lots of vacancies. All right, moving on. Going to Trump in D.C. now. Christian Collins video. Am I in the right place? Well, no, I'm not. I'm a Shannon. I stand. Still at the border one more time because it's a valid point here. Mass deportation is the fix. Play for me.
10-year-old girl who was assaulted by a stranger.
Minneapolis police say it happened Sunday evening in the hallway of an apartment building in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood. Police arrested 34-year-old Ahmed Hirsi Abdi less than 24 hours later. As Angela Davis shows us, court records show he has a history of mental illness.
I don't know, maybe some sick person did this, but I couldn't believe it.
A criminal complaint states that neighbors heard screams on the third floor hallway. When they found a young girl crying, they ran to get help from two off-duty Minneapolis police officers. The victim told police that a man later identified as Ahmed Abdi followed her in and out of an elevator. And as she walked down a hallway, he asked for her name. The complaint states he then extended his hand to her. When she shook his hand, he refused to let go.
Now, they don't tell you where Ahmed Hirsi Abdi came from. They don't tell you if he's legally in this country or who allowed him to enter. Instead, they refer to him as a stranger. They tell us he's mentally ill. And then they spend the rest of the segment talking about various resources for sexual assault survivors. But the one resource they don't talk about, even though it would drastically cut down cases like this, is the resource known as mass deportation. And that's clearly necessary at this point because we're not dealing, again, with one or two bad actors. This is an endemic problem in the culture.
And again, that's in a leftist area. Minneapolis, of course, it says CBS Minnesota. I'm assuming it's Minneapolis. I'm just assuming that'll work, guys. So I'm just wondering, you know what? It might be a great idea to just not allow Ahmed Abdi into the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's just like Mal Walsh said, you know what? And then, of course, they never say that he's an illegal let in by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the border czar. They leave that out completely and just call him a stranger unknown to the woman that he raped. And she never needed to be raped. Remember, the leftist insane ideology is because they say, you know what? She would have been raped anyway by an American citizen. That's how they think, because they say that Americans commit crimes, too. And they're allowed to state, well, we certainly don't need to import more crime. Would everybody agree?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just like you said, you know, instead of giving these people resources about how to recover from Ahmad Abdi raping you, how about we never let Ahmad Abdi in the country? How's that for a novel thought? Gosh, it just, I mean, the asinine idiocy of the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist is beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me. And of course, it's in Tampon Timmy State, and Tampon Timmy doesn't honor ICE detainers either and glorifies in the fact that he allows child rapists out. That's who Tampon Timmy is, the typical effeminate man who's probably a closeted homosexual. All right, going on to the next, finally off of the border. Christian Collins video, 173. Guess who we're going to talk about here? Yeah, guess who's back? I just want to show you. There you go. There she is. So let's talk about her again, because we're setting up the D.C. What's happened to D.C.? Trump is basically, but Trump has really ushered in martial law. He really is. He's pretty much, you know, so here's Korean Jean-Pierre. But Trump has pretty much ushered in martial law in D.C. And you know what I say to that? Great job. Seriously. It belongs to the federal government. D.C. belongs to the federal government. It's basically sort of permitted or licensed for other people to take care of it in an interim sort of basis or as an intermediary. But it is not anything but federal property. So it can be taken over anytime by the president. And he named the specific statute that he used to do so. But anyway, so here's why Trump had to end up taking over D.C. This is not long ago, because this, again, is Karine Jean-Pierre, who is, of course, the dumbest woman to ever hold the position of White House press secretary in the history of the world. And that's competing with people like Jen Psaki, Turkleback. I'm not going to say it. But anyway, mm-hmm. Sounds like Circleback. I mean, it sounds like something bad. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. I'm not going to say it. Yeah, bleep, 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 bleep. But anyway, so in order to beat Circleback Psaki, I mean, you really have to be stupid. And Karine Jean-Pierre not only beat her, but beat her by an absolute mile. So here's one of the things that she was espousing from the White House. 173 House Democrats backed a Washington, D.C. law to reduce penalties for the following crimes. Listen to them. Play it for me.
I did talk to the team, and we have a couple of things that I just want to lay out for all of you and on what the D.C. bill does. It reduces maximum penalties for offenses like murders and other homicides, armed home invasion burglaries, armed carjackings, as I mentioned, armed robberies, unlawful gun possession, and some sexual assault offense.
They lowered the penalties for those. Armed carjackings? Murders? She goes, and she tries to throw it in at the very end. Some sexual offenses like forcible rape, armed burglaries. So they lowered the criminal penalties for every serious offense. Every serious offense. Wonder why it is that Trump, and again, this is not long ago. This is between 2021 and 2024. That's it. I wonder why it is that you had this huge spike in crime until they started to manipulate the statistics in late 2023 and 2024, which they're in a controversy for doing so. High-level staffers have been suspended for manipulating their crime reporting statistics. And that's, you have Muriel Bowser and all the rest of the Democrats going on all the talking head shows right now saying crime is down 12%, down 23%. It's not a matter of how many crimes were committed. It's who's counting the crimes. It's a matter of you're lowering what were felonies to misdemeanors so you can say that you have less felony crimes. You're now no longer recording a murder as a murder so you can say that it's not a murder. You put it as a home invasion and you don't put it as a murder. That's what they're just manipulating the statistical data. I just had to put this in there. I don't do these very often, but I love the Babylon Bee. This is just struck me as funny. I actually laughed out loud when I saw this. D.C. mayor warns Trump crime-fighting measures will unfairly impact criminals. Totally true. And you see why. 173 Democrats voted to lower the criminal penalties for armed carjacking, armed robbery, armed burglary, murders, and rapes. 173 Democrats. There's no hiding anything anymore. The Democrats are on the record. They're pro-murder. They're pro-rape. They're pro-child molestation. They're pro-child rape. If you want to keep the offenders in the country, that means you are pro the offense that they committed. All right, let's go to the next one. The Blaze video. Reporter, do you know what... This is old. This is from yesterday. It's already gone viral, and everybody's already talked about it ad nauseum. But I just couldn't resist it because it's police stuff. Aaron, can you just side-by-side that for me real quick? If you're going to hire... this woman. This is Pamela Smith. If you're going to hire this woman to do this job, then don't expect any better than what you're about to see. Now, can anybody, I mean, this again, is the chief of police in one of the most crime-ridden areas in the world, our nation's capital. And it was put out today. I can't remember who it was that was, I think it was Tom Holman. He was saying, don't you want our capital to be pristine? That it's basically a statement to the world about the greatest of America. Not a crime-ridden cess hellhole. I mean, isn't that really what we want, is a pristine city that is the capital of the United States of America for all foreign dignitaries and everybody else, seeing for the mass tourism and everything else? But anyway, who do you hire? Now, can anybody actually picture this woman tackling somebody to the ground and arresting them? I mean, can you? I mean, I'm just curious. Can anybody? No. Aaron, can you? Will? No, I mean, can you? I mean, I have no problem picturing Aaron do it. Yeah. I have no problem picturing Will. And by the way, it's not even a statement against all women cops, because I worked with a few women that were capable. But not, a lot of them not, though. Just so you know, I'm not going to lie. A lot of them were not. I know. I witnessed it. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, I'm just like, okay, and you notice here, hey, Aaron, do you notice the diversity, equity, inclusion in the picture?
Yeah.
Because there's the leaders of the Washington, D.C. Metro Police Department, and I don't see any white people at all.
Yeah, it's not very diverse.
I believe there's some, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, believe there's white people that live in Washington, D.C.
I think so.
I would believe there is, but there's no diversity, equity, inclusion that's including white people.
Right.
I don't see any diversity here. Every single person here is black and a woman and probably a lesbian. Anyway, can anybody imagine this woman? Do you think she's ever put handcuffs on a suspect in her entire life? Oh, don't worry. We're going to deep dive here into Pamela Smith and see what she's really all about. But anyway, let me play you the viral video. Reporter, do you know what the chain of command is now that Trump has moved in with the National Guard? Here's the police chief's response. What do you mean? Play it for me.
What the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Well, is it Pam Bondi speaking to the mayor, speaking to you, or how does this work?
So the executive order is clear. The president has requested MPD services, and our home rule charter outlines the process. The president designated Attorney General Bondi as his proxy to request services through me.
She doesn't know what chain of command means. And she's the chief of police of the D.C. Metro Police Department. She doesn't know what their exact quote was. What's that mean? And notice how Muriel Bowser basically said, get the freak out of my way and let me answer the question. Because the lesbian police chief has no idea what chain of command means. I'm sitting in a room with a military man, Marine, sitting in a police officer, and somebody who's never served in a paramilitary or military organization. But everybody in this room knows what chain of command means. But the chief of police of the Metro DC Police Department has no idea what chain of command means. Here's why. Here's her background. After a successful career in law enforcement with the U.S. Park Police, how many arrests are you making there? Oh, let me add that up. None. Smith joined the Metropolitan Police Department in May of 2022. That's vast experience. So she had all of her past experience as a park policeman and then automatically just skyrockets up the ranks of the MPD. Is that because she's black and a woman? Oh, well, of course not.
No.
How dare I assert that?
Bigot.
Oh, yeah, bigot, homophobe, xenophobe, misogynist. In May of 2022, she comes on to Metropolitan Police Department in May of 2022 as the chief equity officer. That'll help you arrest bad guys. I mean, now right then was when they were experiencing their 30 or 40% increase in murders and carjackings. Which, of course, they lowered the criminal penalties for, which is how they manipulate the stats, by the way, which I'll get into in a minute. But anyway, so that'll really help you. You know, you're having all these murders and all of these rapes, all of these robberies, all of these thefts and all of these lootings and everything else. But you know what you really need? You need, here comes Pammy Smith as chief equity officer. That'll help. Assigned to the executive office of the chief of police. Wow. She led the department's efforts on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Made an immediate impact at MPD and ensured that DEI issues remained a priority in the department. She later became chief of police. You want to hear this brilliant woman talk? Get ready. Get the next one for me. Ready, Will? Suburban Black Man video. Here's the genius. Play for me.
I'm just a branch off of an old tree. And I'm just that branch that's still standing. And as the leaves fall off, that's all I am. I'm just a tree. And you know what I like about being a tree? I'm glad God has chosen to use this tree.
Aaron said something made me laugh right at the end, which I'm not going to repeat. But anyway, that's genius. I mean, my life had changed from that. My life was, I mean, absolutely, I'm a tree. Yeah. First of all, she said that she's a branch that's planted. I like that explained to me scientifically, how the branch is planted into the ground. I mean, I would just like to know, does it fall off and plant in the ground and die? I mean, because that's how it would be if you were a branch. But anyway, so that's the genius that's running. I wonder why it is that crime's through the roof in the D.C. Metro Police Department. I wonder why. All right, let's go to the next one. Curtis Oak video. I think Mayor Bowser may, at Peter Mayer, it's the guy talking beard, long hair. I think Mayor Bowser may also know that there's an ongoing investigation in her police department over the potential potential manipulation of those crime statistics, that there have been a downclassing of some of the crimes, because that's what they're claiming. We don't need Trump. Murders are down 12%. No, the murders aren't down at all. You're just not classifying them as murders. This is the classic Potomac two-step, very applicable to Washington, D.C. This is the game that Biden was playing. Just like he suddenly showed interest in closing the border the moment that 2024 hit, where he had to actually run for president again. And suddenly crime went exponentially down after he basically told 44% of agencies to no longer report their crimes to the Uniform Crime Report under the FBI. So if you're going to have 40, and by the way, crime still went up. I mean, 44% less agencies were reporting crimes, and crime still went up like 12%. So it actually went up 56%. That all of us noticed it. We all noticed it. It's all in the videos. Except if you live in a state like Florida where we actually enforce laws, you noticed that crime went up in your cities. You noticed it while Biden's sitting there going, all is well, like the Animal House video. All is well. Be calm. The economy's great. And then that's what they do with economic statistics too, with Jerome Powell. They just manipulate them in their own favor. Who's going to know? Nobody's going to know when you're dealing with trillions of dollars and millions of businesses, millions of different lines of statistical data. Nobody's going to know if they just tell you what's flat out wrong until the next administration comes in and starts finding out about the criminality of the prior administration, which we'll get to in just a minute. But anyway, so that it's, again, it's not about how many people voted. It's who's counting the vote. And what they're doing here with all of these statistical, with all these crime statistics, are just the crime occurs and they just label it as either a different crime or a lesser crime so they can say crime is going down. Or they make it no longer a crime, like theft. Still make it a crime. Make it something where you write them a notice to appear. That's what they do. That's how they lower their crime. There's no less incidents of crime. The incidents of crime are actually going up, but they've changed the way that they're reporting the crime to make it look like it's going down. There have been a massaging of numbers in the reporting in order to fit them more beneficially into the FBI crime stats. Play for me.
I think Mayor Bowser may also know that there's an ongoing investigation in her police department over the potentially manipulation of those statistics, that there have been a downclassing of some of the crimes. There has been a massaging of the numbers and the reporting in order to fit them more beneficially into the FBI crime stats. So she may know some things that national Democrats are not paying attention to.
Yeah, Will brought up an interesting point while we were watching that. Another way to massage the statistics is guilty convictions instead of incidences. When you have a murder, you have a murder. I mean, Aaron, is that hard to understand?
No.
There's a body there with a bullet in between
someone's
his eyes.
Dead.
Okay, he's dead.
Yeah.
Someone's dead with a bullet, okay. Or hacked a piece, whatever it may be. You have a murder. Now, if you don't get a conviction for it, do you just not report it as a murder then? That's what they're doing. They're just changing. We thought you meant murder convictions. Didn't you report for the last 74 years every incident of murder, not murder convictions? That was an oversight on our part.
My bad.
Our bad. That's what they do. And it's all leftists. It's not Republicans. I'll attack Republicans as needed, but this is all leftists from leftist jurisdictions. Speaking of that, go to the next one. So here's out of Channel 4 Washington. D.C. police commander, can everybody notice the date on the bottom? Right? I mean, less than a month ago?
Roughly.
Okay. Yeah. So I wonder why it is all these crime stats have gone. And by the way, this is at the command of Pammy Smith and Muriel Bowser. They're going to dump it on the D.C. police commander, suspended, accused of changing crime statistics. Aaron and Will, speaking of when we have a knowledge of chain of command, which Pamela Smith has no idea because she's just a bull dyke lesbian who's been put in charge of the D.C. Metro Police Department because she's a large black female who has no idea. How's the chain of command going to work from now on? What's that mean? That was her answer. Okay. That's her answer. I mean, three word answer. What's that mean? That's real professional too.
Yeah.
Real professional. I mean, anybody, you could weasel your way around that. I mean, there would be a way to answer. What's that mean? But anyway, this DC police commander, since we know what chain of command means, got that order from the chain of command above him. He didn't just arbitrarily decide, you know what? I'm going to manipulate crime statistics. He got that order from Pammy, who got that order from Muriel. So because they knew, see, all this stuff that Donald Trump is doing is what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. I heard him numerous times say that he was going to take over D.C. numerous times. He said he was going to do it. So again, and whether he said he's going to bring in the National Guard, he said he was going to clean up D.C. He said he was going to do it. So they knew that going in. So suddenly they decide to order their D.C. police commander to manipulate the crime stats, either do what Will said about convictions, change felonies to misdemeanors, or you can just do a home invasion robbery that resulted in two murders. You just call it a home invasion robbery. Wouldn't leave the murders out. See? That's how it works. You just leave the murders out. It still worked as a murder inside the department, but it's classified as a home invasion robbery. Oh, how would that work? Believe me, I know. I wrote many, many police reports, and I would never manipulate it that way. I'm just telling you that's how it works. So anyway, your police union says directive to change offense classifications. Oh, isn't that what I just said? And what Will just said? Yeah. Comes from the who? The chain of command, the command staff. In other words, from Pammy Smith, who stands there at a podium and lets this man be suspended for following her orders and says nothing. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. Disgusting, repulsive human beings. That's who they are. Spineless little worms. Disgusting people who let other people take the fall for them. Go to the next one for me, Will. So here's the real murder rate, by the way, just so everybody can see it. Aaron, can you blow it up just to make sure everyone can see it? There we go. Good, perfect. I don't need all of it, just the top five or something. But anyway, Washington, D.C. Has doubled the murders of Bogota, Colombia. That's the murder rate. That's the 2024 murder rate. And they're talking about they don't need Trump. I think when you have three times the murders of Islamabad, you might need a little help. When you have 27 times the murders of London and Madrid, you might need some help.
Yeah.
When you have 27 times the murders of Havana, Cuba, you might need some help. Would everybody agree on that? Or Mexico City, you have three times the amount of murders as Mexico City. You might need a little bit of help. But don't worry. Let's just hire another black woman. That'll help. And if anybody wants to call me racist, go right ahead. I don't care whether a person's black, white, or whatever. All I care about is who's the best. Who's the best? That's who gets Foundation Church. You can want a job here. You got to be the best. That's it. I don't want you otherwise. Get out. Now, I have very few staff members. For a church of 1,000 people, we have very few staff members. Most church staffs, when you have 1,000 people, will be three times our size. We don't have that because I'm not hiring people that I have to deal with. All it doesn't matter. I don't care whether you're black. I don't care whether you're white. I don't care whether you're Hispanic. I don't care whether you're male or female or anything else along those lines. If you're gay, you're out. Simple as that. You're not a Christian. Bye-bye. You're out. Trans, out. You're not a Christian. Bye-bye. You're out. But anyway, so you got to be excellent and you got to be a Christian or you're going to go bye-bye. I'm not putting up with anything else. That's the way it should be here. But instead of doing it that way, they make sure they hire as many black women as they possibly can. And you end up, no men at all to be seen anywhere. And you end up with a murder rate twice the rate of Bogota, Colombia. So, hey, Texas Billy, I know that's your favorite place, but I love you, buddy. But anyway, unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? A Curtis Oak video. Alex Stomp. What's striking is the National Democrats are not following Mayor Bowser's lead on this, and that National Democrats are basically, they're not welcome. Mario Bowser's been forced into welcoming this. He says, why aren't other people welcoming this? Play for me.
So what's striking is that National Democrats are not following Mayor Bowser's lead on this, and that National Democrats have been insisting, just look at the statistics. We have 30-year low, violent crime, whereas Mayor Bowser is talking about, hey, we need to get 500 more police officers on the streets. We'd like the federal government to help us rebuild our jail. We also, she's talking about some of the reforms she did to make it so accused violent offenders don't get out of jail pre-trial. So there is this disconnect, and I've talked to Democratic strategists today that think that, you know, National Democrats saying, look at the statistics, is sort of a tone-deaf way to react.
And it's very much, isn't this the exact same problem that Democrats had last year? Look at the statistics. Yeah. We promise you the economy is great, while people are going, it doesn't feel great to me. That feels like a lot of this conversation around crime, that you can point to statistics all day long that say, hey, D.C. is safer this year than it was last year. But do people feel safe? Bottom line, if they don't, they may be more okay with something that would otherwise be considered extraordinary.
Now, you have to kind of understand the backdoor way that this woman is trying to explain things. She's basically saying, Republicans are too stupid to look at the statistics. First of all, we don't live in D.C. 98% of the population voted for Joe Biden. We don't live there. So what she's trying to do in a backdoor way is to insult us by saying we don't look at the facts. We just look at our feelings. No, we're looking at the facts. And what the Democrats are doing is purposely manipulating statistical data in their favor. That's what we know. We know that's what they did at the border. They don't count everybody that crosses the border. They only count the people that they wanted to count that crossed the border. And they basically redirected them to the port of entry, loaded them on buses, and drove them across the border legally so they weren't illegals. That's what they did. So they just changed the way they count. So this woman is saying, well, Republicans, and by the way, she's also denigrating Democrats. All of the, all of the voters out there, the electorate, they don't understand these statistics. They're just voting with their feelings. No, we understand what we're seeing, and we understand that you are manipulating the stats in your favor. We understand that you're unlawfully, fraudulently changing the statistical data to make something appear to be something that it's not. All right, so let's go to the next one. The skiff video. So change the subjects off of this now. Let's go to the latest thing here. Comey's media mole told FBI he shaped Russia narrative, needed discount to deny leaking intel. I believe this is John Solomon. Play it for me.
The FBI director, Kash Patel, who was all over this, he weighed in as well, writing on X, quote, now Congress can see how classified information was leaked to shape political narratives and decide if our institutions were weaponized against the American people. We have more major breaking news to share. Mr. Higher Honor himself, James Comey, routinely leaked classified information to the New York Times through an intermediary, a friend, on the faculty of Columbia Law School. The sheer amount of leaking appears to be political, deep, dark, purposefully deceptive, and in a myriad of ways. Here with details is investigative reporter, founder of JustTheNews.com, editor-in-chief.
What you find out is that James Comey decided not to work through the FBI press office when he wanted to change the narrative in Washington, burnish his reputation against attacks from Democrats and try to sully Donald Trump's reputation. If you remember, Democrats were mad that James Comey let out of the bag just before the election that there might be some new evidence in the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Hillary blamed Comey for throwing the election. She blamed the Russians for throwing the election. She blamed everybody but herself for throwing the election for her. But Comey was trying to rehabilitate that. And so he had an intermediary, a Columbia Law professor by the name of Daniel Richmond, who the FBI confirmed and interviewed. And Richmond said, yes, I used my relationship with a New York Times reporter named Michael Schmidt. He's one of the authors of the Pulitzer Prize winning package that President Trump is now suing over. And my goal was to improve negative stories about James Comey and to set a narrative, i.e., set the Russia collusion narrative. This guy worked around the official channels of the FBI press office. And at one point, the FBI noted, you met with James Comey. He gave you access to classified information. A short while later, you had a conversation with that New York Times reporter, and he ends up reporting something that appears to be classified. Did you do it? And he gives, I think, perhaps the most famous denial people will remember since Bill Clinton says it depends what the meaning of the word is when he tried to obfuscate whether he had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. He says, I can say, I don't think I confirmed the information. I can say with a discount that I didn't give him the classified information. With a discount means you got to give me some room. It's an extraordinary moment. The FBI clearly had strong suspicions that this was a potential backdoor for information, maybe classified information, to get out to the media with James Comey's fingerprints on it. And they didn't go much further. They didn't put Comey before the grand jury, that we can tell. They didn't appear to put this gentleman, Daniel Richmond, before the grand jury. And like Adam Schiff, as we told you last night, here they have an eyewitness whistleblower who said, I was in the room when he authorized leaks of intel. These end up being a dead end again. And it's another reminder of a dual system of justice that the Justice Department had the last 6 years. These are documents that were never given to Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan confirmed that to me today. And we're just learning 8 years later, because of what Kash Patel turned over, that the FBI had all the evidence of how the false narrative of Russia collusion was spread across this country to the detriment of voters, to the detriment of President Trump's first campaign, and they did nothing about it.
It's a credit to the FBI. It's a credit to Kash Patel. It's a credit to the people that are involved in sharing this information now with the public. Do you see legal jeopardy here?
I think if Pam Bondi goes the grand jury route, that these are people that are going to be hauled before the grand jury. I want to remind people, most classified information statutes have a 5-year statute of limitations, but there is a provision that extends it to 10 years if it's willing and knowing. And there is some pretty clear evidence of a strong apparatus put in place to make these leaks occur, according to the FBI documents. I think a grand jury could go back and try to compel testimony and find out if it rises to the level of criminality. Tomorrow, though, I think we're going to take people on a new destination, which is how often did the FBI get blocked in trying to investigate Hillary Clinton corruption at the Clinton Foundation? You're going to be shocked by the answer.
We'll have you back tomorrow, John Solomon. This is
all right. So there you go. Now, just again, these are not things that need any deciphering, that need discernment, that need any clarification, that are open for interpretation. James Comey leaked classified information over and over and over again, just like Shifty Schiff did the exact same thing over and over and over again. The whistleblower for Schiff went to the FBI 4 times, was interviewed 4 times, and the FBI never investigated Adam Schiff. Same thing here with Comey. What did Comey do? Comey went to his friend, a Columbia law professor, of course, and somebody put in here, where is Smug Comey, Lady Vu, absolutely right. He's always so, I'm above reproach. He's so flummoxed and flabbergasted by anybody ever questioning his integrity, when he has nothing to do with integrity. He is a man devoid of all human dignity and integrity. He really is. He is the perfect embodiment of a whitewashed tomb full of dead man's bones. That's who he is. But anyway, Comey goes to his law professor friend, Daniel Richmond, and leaks classified information to Richmond, and then Richmond tells the New York Times. Now, Aaron, what is there to investigate here? It's over.
Yeah.
There is no clarification needed. There is nothing. There's no interpretation needed. There's nothing to understand. There's nothing to investigate. The FBI did the interviews already. They're all on tape. They are all transcribed. It's over. Comey admitted to it when he was asked, did you release classified information to Daniel Richmond? He said, I can say, Aaron, get this, with a discount.
No,
what does that even fucking mean?
I'm a liar.
Yeah, exactly. That I did not give him classified information. I mean, you're thinking, why in the world would he do it this way? So he could have some, he thinks that this gives him plausible deniability. I mean, again, you think because you tell an intermediary classified information and that intermediary releases it to the press, that that clears you of releasing classified information? You committed the crime by telling the law professor. It's not just a crime to release it to the media. You think that you are relieved from liability because it was the professor that released the classified information to the New York Times? You giving it to the professor is the crime. The professor releasing it to the New York Times at your command is also the next crime. These are the people that were successful as investigators and prosecutors, that they believed that if I tell a friend the classified information and the friend tells the New York Times, that that relieves me of all criminal liability? I mean, these people are stupid beyond absolute measure. Really, really dumb human beings. All right, that's good for the night. Oh, wow, look at all these Rumble Rants. Holy moly. Producer Aaron, $65. Will, you get paid on Aaron alone.
Yep,
thank you, Aaron.
Applebee's. Thank you.
Applebee's on Will. All right, Texas Billy, $50. Thank you so much, Texas Billy. That's a good one. Yuri Nader, $11.21, $50. Thank you so much, Yuri. Flash River, $25. Thank you so much. Johnny F62, $20. Thank you so much. Nate Dad 1, $20. Thank you so much. Robin Aroni, $5. Thank you so much. Christopher Arnott, $5. Thank you so much. Mike Griffith, $5. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Mike, so much. Appreciate each and every one of you. Will not be fired tonight because of the rant. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.